it, we should be making some progress in some of those areas, right? Remember, it's more than just checking off a to-do list. It's about embracing the experience. It's about engaging yourself in the five purposes of the church so that you will discover how you can reach your God-given potential, how you can experience love, joy, peace, and fulfillment because your life is doing the will of God. So today our challenge for this week is regarding the third purpose of the church, spiritual growth. And our foundational passage for the 30-day church challenge, as I've already mentioned, is found right here in Acts chapter 2. We're learning that challenges are good things. And challenges by nature are always what? A challenge, right? That's what they're about. But studies have shown that when we do them together, not individually, when we do them together as a group, success gets easier. So we want to do them together. So all of the challenges come from our example of the first church, right here from Acts 2:42. So follow along as I read it to you. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to everyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I want to give you just a brief commercial this morning about our next series. 3 weeks from now, we will continue for 3 weeks in our future history series. Remember our study of Daniel a few months ago? We're going to continue that for 3 weeks, then we're going to have a Christmas series, and then we're going to get back and finish Daniel in January. And what I'm so excited about with this section of the series is that we're going to learn some very interesting lessons from Daniel and the lion's den. That's chapter 6. That's one of my favorite sections in Daniel. And we're going to look at some interesting facts about future prophecy and world events. And you will benefit from this series by making sense of the world around us. Sometimes we flip on the news and we're not quite sure how to take all of that. And you're going to be able to deal with life as it happens because of the secrets that are given to us from the study of Daniel. It's going to be a great teaching series. You're not going to want to miss those 3 weeks. So back to Acts 2 this morning. That's the end of the commercial. The first church was committed to authentic community. Verse 44 says they had everything in common. The first church knew how to worship. In verse 47 it says they were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. But they had another very important habit that they adopted in this first church. Verse 42 says they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. Devoted. Why did they do that? Simple. Because they wanted to grow. Today we're going to talk about spiritual growth. Chances are when you were little, you had a very special place. Your parents had a very special place maybe in the door frame of a closet. Maybe in the inside of a special doorway or something. And ours, it was prominent in the kitchen. And it was a place where they measured our height every 3 or 4 months. Do you have that place in your home? Or you had that place in your home, remember? Do you remember how excited you were every time you could see that you had grown a little bit? And then you passed your mom's height. And how exciting, especially if you're a boy, you passed your mom's height. And then, maybe you passed your dad's height. How exciting was that? Something in us just wants to grow as humans. We get excited when we see it and feel it happening, don't we? Say yes. At least give me that, alright? Good. So growth is such a part of who we are. We love to grow. Did you know that the Bible measures our spiritual height? It measures our spiritual growth. John chapter 2, verse 12, it says, I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of His name. By the time John wrote this letter, he was in his 60s or 70s. And for this time frame in history, John was an old man. That doesn't seem that old anymore, but in that time frame it was. I was watching O'Reilly Factor. I don't know how you feel about O'Reilly. I like the no-spin zone. And he gave a happy birthday to a 107-year-old lady this week. And I thought, wow, that's pretty cool, 107 years. But back then, 60s and 70s were pretty old. And so he's writing this letter as a grandfatherly figure is writing to some younger people. And so he says, I tell you that when a person... So he goes on in that passage and he says this. He says, I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong. And listen to this. The Word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. By John's definition, spiritual children are those who have received Jesus. They've had their sins forgiven by receiving Christ as their Savior. And they know God, K-N-O-W, they know who God is. They know about Him. Spiritual young men are strong because they are regularly reading God's Word, the Bible. They are involved in the cause of Christ on earth by advancing His kingdom, by overcoming the evil one. Spiritual fathers are those who have a relationship with the Lord that's deep enough to know God's character personally. They know that He's eternal. They know that He's from the beginning. That's how God measures our spiritual growth. From just coming to Christ, to growing, to serving, to knowing God. Just as you know one of your best friends, one of your greatest friends, we start to know God in the same way. Life is about growth. And spiritual life is about spiritual growth. Have you ever noticed the minute you stop growing up, you start growing out? Have you ever noticed that? And then we battle with that, most of us, for the rest of our lives we battle with that. Well, Colossians 2, the Apostle Paul tells us in verse 6 and 7, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Trees grow until they die, and so do humans. Only some of us die inside long before we show that we're dying on the outside. How can you tell if someone is dying on the outside? Well, here's three signs I want to submit to you this morning. One, they stop learning. Two, they stop maturing. And three, they simply stop caring. You can tell when a person has stopped learning because they never share anything new. They're always sharing the old stuff again. They haven't learned anything new. They don't share anything they read. They don't share anything they heard at a seminar or some conference they went to. They don't share anything that they've gleaned from a sermon, a podcast, or a community group conversation or lesson. You can tell when a person stopped maturing because their character hasn't changed. They aren't becoming more thoughtful. They're not becoming more patient. They don't do anything more helpful around the house, maybe, or neighborhood, or work, or church than they used to a few years ago. You can tell when a person has stopped caring because they just don't care anymore. Perhaps they don't care anymore about starving children around the world or about local injustice than they did a few years ago. Maybe their missions giving has just dropped off to nothing because they just don't care about missions work around the world anymore. These types of people are growth stunted. And growth stuntedness can happen to anyone. But God never intends for you to stop growing. That's never His plan. That's never His will. Life is all about growing. Life is all about growing. Birds grow, bees grow, plants grow, trees grow. Viruses, germs, microorganisms, and fungi grow. Everything that's living grows. Over the past few years, most of us have learned that we've got to grow just to stay where we are. We've got to continue to add muscle just to stay where we're at. We've got to continue to grow. Because those of us who aren't growing, say, in our job skills and their ability to enhance the company, what happens to them? They're usually let go, right? Over every computer application you own, whether you have a Mac or a PC, it gets updated every few months or at least every year or two, right? Sometimes every week those little apps on your phone are updating themselves. And you have to learn new features or you risk falling behind. You know what I'm talking about, right? You risk falling behind. Some of you struggle with Facebook or smartphones or checking in on Facebook, right? Or texting or tablet computer apps because you didn't grow up with all of that stuff. And you didn't realize when all of those things started coming online that you would have to learn them just to stay in touch with the culture that you live in, that you're a part of. Life is about growing, and we have to grow just to keep up with life around us. You and I ought to be getting better every single day until we die. Last week we learned that Romans 12:1, Paul says, based on all the incredible things God has done for you, present your bodies, your whole bodies, to Him as a living sacrifice. This is your true act of worship. Then in the very next verse, the Apostle Paul writes in chapter 12, verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Wouldn't you like to know what God's will is? You can know. Keep growing. Life is all about growing. Growing is about transformation. It's about moving from something we're not to something we should be. Growing is about transformation. So what is it we should be when we're all grown up? Well, first of all, we should never be all grown up. We'll never be all grown up. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 8:29 that we're supposed to be conformed to the image of His Son. Conformed. Romans 12. We're supposed to be conformed. Another verse it says we're supposed to be transformed. To be transformed is to have our form changed, our likeness, our character, our spiritual life transformed, changed. Trans means changed. To be conformed is to have our form changed with another. Con is with. The goal of our growth is to be changed, to conform to the shape of God's Son, to think and to act like Jesus thought and like Jesus acted. So, what was Jesus like? Jesus was a man on a mission. Jesus thought like one sent from God. Jesus acted like the servant of everybody around Him. He wasn't lording over everybody around Him. That's what we're supposed to be growing toward, a servant's heart. When you grow as a football player, you learn to run better. You learn to tackle better. You learn to read defenses better. When you grow as a Christian, you learn to believe better. You learn to hope better. And as we learned in our Christian series, you learn to love better, don't you? What is love? Patience, kindness, goodness, all of those attributes in 1 Corinthians 13 that we hear at every wedding we go to, right? So, as you are transformed by the renewing of your mind, you believe less of what Oprah says and more of what God says in His Word, right? You become less of a taker. You become more of a giver. Your life becomes less about you and more about other people. That's growing. None of this happens overnight. It's a process. It's an ongoing process. This is why the Apostle Paul tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Not renewed as in period, it's done, it's been accomplished, but renewing. Not a one-time thing, but an ever-present process that we should be putting into our mind constantly being renewing. What you read, what you see, what you hear, what you talk about, all of those things matter. Be transformed by the ongoing renewing process of your mind. Nudge your neighbor. Go ahead, nudge your neighbor. Just give him a nudge. And say, you need to be renewed. And now nudge him again and say, and so do I. You and I both need to be renewed, don't we? We all need to be renewed constantly. Renewed, renewed, renewed. Renewing is a process that happens one step at a time. That's why we always believe spiritual growth is a series of next steps. The more steps you take, the more progress you make. Your goal is to step up to spiritual growth by committing to one spiritual step at a time. And it all starts with the renewing of your mind, putting the good stuff in. Throughout history, Christians have discovered that certain habits practiced regularly over time lead to spiritual transformation. We learned last week that the most fundamental of these habits is spiritual worship, is weekly worship. Coming to church every single week resets your mental and your spiritual clock by reminding you of what's really important in life. The second most fundamental step is daily Bible reading. This book, the Bible, contains pure truth. It's not like Sports Illustrated or Cosmopolitan magazine, which contains some truth, but it also contain some distortions of the truth. This book is all true. Everything it says about God is true. Everything it says about life is true. Get this one. Everything it says about you is true. Everything. So when you read this book, it helps you to think more accurately. It helps you to see the world more precisely, to understand God's will more clearly. Listen, the more accurately, the more precisely, and the more clearly your thinking is, the more mature you will become in your spiritual walk in your life with God. There are many more steps you can take to mature. Prayer helps renew your mind. So does belonging to a community group. Sharing your faith forces your mind to be renewed because you have to be clear about what you're explaining to other people. So all of these practices are part of our 30-day church challenge. By the end of this challenge, we're all going to be practicing these five habits of spiritual growth that'll make us big spiritual giants one day. Isn't that great? Your challenge this week is to grow. Your 30-day church challenge book will give you small, simple steps to take every day, a little step every single day this week. But the major weekly challenge that I want to give you this morning, starting today, is to commit to spending some time in God's Word. Starting today. Part of spending time with God's Word is reading His Bible. God speaks to you when you're reading the Bible. The second part is prayer. You speak to God when you're praying. So here are some options that you can take. Option number one. If you're new to this whole Jesus thing, you're still checking it out, you're here at church today, we're so glad you're here, you picked a great series to be a part of. But if you're new to this whole thing, your challenge for this week is just to commit to reading the Bible for at least 5 minutes a day. Listen, you have, I'm a math guy, 1,440 minutes every day of the year. Did you know that? That's a lot of minutes. It's a lot more than hours, right? 24 hours and you do the math. 1,440 minutes. If you spend 5 minutes reading the Bible, that's a half of 1%. That's 0.5% of your entire day. Anybody can squeeze 0.5% into their day to read the Bible. Couldn't you? You can do that, can't you? That's pretty reasonable. So here's the challenge. Read just 5 minutes a day and take that challenge for the next 21 days. It takes about 21 days to build a habit. That's all it takes. So hopefully after 21 days, it'll be a part of your life and you'll just continue on with it. And then after you've read the Bible for 5 minutes, just spend 2 minutes in prayer. That's a whole whopping 0.7% of your day. That's not much. So your prayers don't have to be elaborate. You don't have to use a different language. You don't have to have these and thous, oh, thouest, greatest, most highest God. You don't have to have any of that. You just speak to God like you're speaking to a friend, like you would speak to me. You just tell God what's on your heart and you say, God, I'd really like you to help me with whatever you need help with that day. That's it. There's nothing fancy or elaborate. Don't make prayer more than it is. God would just rather have a conversation with you than having you become somebody else that you're not. So if you've never read the Bible before, if you've just skipped around and kind of wondered where you go, I'm going to suggest that you start in the book of Luke. The Luke is a pretty cool book because it has just about, not quite every story. There's some other stories in there, but most every story about Jesus is found in the book of Luke. Luke is the third book in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So Luke is the third one. Start in the book of Luke and just read 5 minutes. Set a watch if you want to. And just keep reading until you get to the very end of the New Testament. So you're going to read Luke, then John, then Acts, and you just keep going, and you'll start to have some blanks filled in for you. It'll be a really great challenge. So you up for that challenge? Say yes. Okay, great. I'm glad you're all with me. I'll tell you what you need to say when you say it. That's good. So when you start an exercise program, you don't start with 2 hours of weightlifting, do you? Because if you did that, you probably would be so sore, you wouldn't come back the second day. So don't bother starting with being all super spiritual and starting with 2 or 3 hours of Bible study. You're not going to sustain that. Just start with 5 minutes a day of reading. And when you come to something that strikes you in the Bible, maybe something steps and just jumps off at the page at you, just stop and pray about it for 2 minutes. You can even break that Bible reading up and put prayer in the middle if you want to. You come to a place where you say, God, I like what I'm reading there. Help me to be more like that. Pray it and ask God to help you with that. That's a prayer He'll help you answer because that's His will jumping off the page to you. If you come to a place and it says something you want to do in your life, you read it, you say, God, just stop right there and say, God, help me to do what You're telling me to do there. Love my neighbor, love my somebody. Just help me do that. Help me trust You with that. If you're already in the habit of reading the Bible, your assignment is to go a little bit deeper. Just a little bit deeper. Take another step. Don't read for 5 minutes a day. Try to go for 10 minutes a day. Try to go for a whopping 1% of your day in reading the Bible with 5 minutes of prayer. When you finish reading, write down, here's a big challenge, write down one sentence describing the point of the reading that day. This is called meditating. Another way of thinking about that is it's deeper thinking about the subject that day. You're forcing your mind to think and summarize that all down to one sentence so you can put that to work in your mind. Writing down the point of the passage will force your mind to go a little bit deeper into the Scriptures that day. And while you're writing that down, you can pray, Lord, use this to help me grow in my spiritual life. It'll be a huge blessing to you, I promise. Those of you who are already Bible readers, are you up for that challenge? Good. Try it. Put it into practice. One more principle. As you're growing, what is the point? What is the purpose of growing? What's this all about? What's it going to benefit you? The purpose of growth is reproduction. John said that the highest form of spirituality is to be a spiritual father, and we can add to that a spiritual mother, right? You can't be a spiritual father unless you have spiritual children. It's impossible. A mature tree produces seeds that make mature trees. A mature rabbit produces rabbits. A mature banana slug produces banana slugs. That's what they do. John chapter 15, Jesus said this incredible passage of Scripture. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that will be thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I'm supposed to be on number 10 here. I think I got out of... There we go. Okay. Jesus calls it bearing fruit. And we were born to reproduce. He says that we can only bear fruit if we what? Remain in Him, right? We have to remain in Christ. This means that we have to spend time with Him by reading His Word, what's written to us, by listening to Him and applying that Word to our lives, and by praying and having that relationship with Him. And God gets glory whenever we bear fruit. Jesus was the ultimate fruit bearer. And every one of us, and all the other 2 billion Christians on the face of the earth, followers today, are His fruit. And fruit came and invited some other person to become a piece of fruit. And they became a follower of Jesus. And then that piece of fruit invited somebody else to become a follower. And they became a piece of fruit that bore seeds, that bore more fruit, and invited someone else. And eventually someone invited you to be a follower of Christ. And you gave the acceptance. And you accepted Christ. And now it's your turn, if you've never won somebody to Jesus, to step out in faith and start bearing fruit. And that's what we'll be talking more in depth about in 2 weeks. But picture this for just a minute in your mind. Imagine that your body is overweight. Now, for some of us, that's easier to imagine than others, right? You're feeling flabby. Even if you're really thin today, you're feeling flabby. You're out of breath almost all the time. You can't hardly walk up the stairs without having some oxygen. You know what I mean? Most of us have probably felt that way at least one time in our life. Now, picture the opposite. Picture your body as fit and buff. You know, Sports Illustrated kind of fit. You have ripping biceps, and instead of having one ab, you have six of them, a whole six pack, right? You can run a 5K or a 10K with no effort at all, with no oxygen, it's just a breeze. You're in shape, and everybody admires your well-fit physique. Which feels better, flabby or fit? Fit or flabby? Which feels better? Fit, right? Now transfer that to the spiritual realm. Imagine yourself not caring very much about other people, about God. You can just take it or leave it. You're self-centered, lazy. You don't value telling the truth, keeping your word, or helping others. Now flip that. Flip that picture. Imagine yourself as a spiritual giant. You are trustworthy. You are others-centered. People admire you for your character because you tell the truth. You're patient with children. You're self-controlled. You actually enjoy helping other people. Which feels better, spiritual flabby or fit? Fit or flabby? Spiritual fit feels better, doesn't it? You can become that person. You can do it. To get there, you need to take one step spiritually, and then another, and then still another. And you can really grow to become more and more like Jesus. To be that way, you need to think that way. Change your thinking. Which is why Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. So read God's thoughts. Spend 5 or 10 minutes or 15 minutes a day letting Him talk to you with His Word, and then talking to Him for a few minutes in prayer. And then combine that with the other challenges we're taking during this 30-day church challenge. And you'll be on the road to ripping spiritual biceps and a six-pack spiritual abs that you'll be proud of with a fit body. So turn to your neighbor and say, you can be a spiritual stud. Come on. You can be a spiritual stud. Doesn't that feel good? All right. If you don't have a 30-day church challenge devotional book that looks like this, they are on the welcome table in the foyer, the main table in the foyer. Pick one up as you leave today so that you can take this spiritual growth challenge during this week. And if you don't have the coin, pick one of those up too. And if you're not in a community group yet, what do you need to do this week? You need to go to a community group. We have lots of people in community group. More than half of our church attends a community group every week. And it's a great way to just take that growth to another level. So let's pray. God, we love you. We praise you.